This is Josh Stewart, and you're listening to the East Coast Horror Group. So pick your ears and listen. Listen up, people.
Otherworldlyculture.com.
When we did that.
They're here.
Alive! It's alive! It's alive!
The horse make my.
Otherworldlyculture.com presents Dead On Movie Reviews.
Salutations and mutilations. You're listening to Otherworldly Culture presents Dead On Movie Reviews. Tonight, we present horror movie reviews and lively debate here on otherworldlyculture.com and on future select Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, which I even keep secret from the people on the show, believe it or not. It's something that I just launch at them, and sometimes we get enough people to do it. You can join our live chat anytime we're live, which makes sense, by clicking on the live shows link on otherworldlyculture.com website. By the way, don't use Microsoft Edge to do that. For some reason, it doesn't work. You gotta use Google Chrome, or I think Explorer still works. Not sure about Safari. Hey, I'm your host, Tim Kretschmann, coming to you from the east coast of Lake Michigan, and it's my honor to introduce the Faculty of Fear panel presenting tonight's lectures. So, from this corner, parts unknown, we have Mr. Adam Holzapfel. He's our hardcore otherworldly culture columnist, and he won't brag, but he is in fact the Taco King. If you don't believe me, check out Film Feast and see his culinary art in action. His text articles and other content is a newly formed backbone to the website. He's back for another appearance on Dead On Movie Reviews. He's Adam Holzapfel. How are you doing, Adam?
Good, Tom. How are you?
Fantastic. Now, the next person I'm introducing will be joining us about halfway through tonight's show. She is stuck in L.A. traffic, which I hear is its own type of horror show. Danielle McKay is an actress and now director with A Buck Short Productions. A Buck Short Productions is 100% pure uncut underground horror, straight out of the new vein of horror, Atlanta, Georgia. So she'll be coming in a little bit. But now, it's my honor to introduce our good friend, there it comes, the man they call the face of Jason and sincere zombie apologist. It's the man of two voices. He's Coach Michael Exler, our Dean of Students, when we actually had a student by. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm great. I heard you were going to sing a little song for us today. Is that true?
Yes.
Here it comes.
Red box. Put it in your butt box.
It's my favorite. Every time I go past the red box, I sing that song, you know.
Yes, you should.
Every time. It doesn't matter how many people are around me. And I think they all love it.
I would think so.
I think they do. All right. Well, we've got some interesting movies tonight. Do we want to start with Adam? I think we're going to start with Adam. Adam, tell us, what have you been watching?
So I attempted to watch the 2018 German flick, Blew My Mind. It's a period piece, meaning it's basically about a girl who hits puberty and turns into a creature, I guess. I didn't make it that far.
Oh, boy.
The pacing of the movie was awful. I had high hopes for it because I generally like flicks like this and foreign flicks, but it just went nowhere. Basically, it starts out, she moves to a new school, is kind of ostracized at the beginning, gets picked on, all the usual bullshit. Then she decides to eat her pet goldfish for some reason.
As teenagers start, do.
Yeah, you know, teenagers. It's the new thing to do. All the cool kids are doing it.
That's right.
Starts hanging out with the popular kids and treating her mom like shit. And then I fell asleep because... That was the first half hour of the film, and I didn't see it getting any better from there. So, yeah, it's on Shudder, so watch at your own risk. But yeah,
or it looks like she turns into a mermaid, but you don't know because you fell asleep.
Yeah, and honestly, I was hoping more for a creature from the Black Lagoon type thing, but...
Oh, I hear yeah. That movie was made.
I hear it was, too.
Yeah. Yeah, but they didn't use the name Creature of the Black Lagoon. Do you know the backstory on that, by the way, of Shape of Water?
Probably not.
Hey, this is kind of interesting. Guillermo del Toro at one point was talked to about running that Universal Monsterverse that they were going to make.
Oh, yeah.
And he wanted to do Universal Black Lagoon. Part.
Yeah.
And he had this script, basically. And then Universal said, no, you're not good enough to run this. We're going to throw all our money at Tom Cruise and the Mummy. So meanwhile, he gets an Oscar. I'm sure I'm missing a lot of that story. This is just what I've seen on various websites, but it cracks me up. Okay, so you made it a half hour.
Yeah, I did.
I don't even know how we do this. Hold on. All right, Adam. What the hell are you going to report this one?
I'm going to have to give it an F. If it puts me to sleep in half an hour, it gets an F.
Here's my thing. I've been, you know, watching your reviews online and on this show. You watch pretty much just complete garbage and horseshit all the time.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I watch a lot of good.
You're an apologist. You watch some real garbage.
I watch a lot of garbage, but I watch a lot of everything. I just review the garbage online because a lot of people don't know about it.
Yeah, I get that, but this does not change. That it is, in fact, garbage, and you watch it, and somehow this one, you couldn't even watch. You know what? I'm on your behalf. I'm changing this to an incomplete. That is an incomplete, my friend. That didn't even make
Which
it.
Which usually garners an F.
Yeah, well, I figured out I had enough space to write an incomplete, so there you go. Incomplete. Oh, my God. That is shocking to me because you have watched some real trash dumpster fires over the years. I don't mean that in a bad way because I'm like, well, at least I didn't have to watch, you know, but okay. So that's one down already. Uh-oh. All right. We're going to move to Mike. Mike?
No.
You watched a movie, and I've looked at some of the reviews of this one online, so I'm wondering if you made it through it. This Boar in 2018. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Boar. it's an Australian flick, and I did make it all the way through.
All right.
So, what reviews did you hear, Tim?
I was reading a lot of this is garbage. and that Razorback was better. And I saw Razorback, and I was not impressed with Razorback. So I was seeing a lot of not happy reviews, and that this was complete dumpster fire.
I did not see Razorback. I didn't even know that was a movie.
Yeah, it's like it was one of those movies that I call a Jaws answer movie. Like, after Jaws made all that money, people are like, well, what type of killer animal could we have, you know, rampaging? And there were a lot of shark, piranha, you know, a lot of sea creatures. But there were also things like grizzly and, you know, things like that. Yeah. And Razorback was, I think, of that time frame. I'm sure I'm going to get corrected if I got that wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was part of that. And it wasn't the worst movie ever. It just wasn't particularly good. You know, it didn't have a lot to recommend itself, as they say.
Interesting.
Okay. Oh, I'm sensing he might actually like a monster movie. So let's see what you have to say.
So yeah, they took three actors that are famous and they put them in this film. The one thing I will say about this is a lot of times they'll take name actors and they'll throw them in a movie for like 23 seconds and then put their name all over the box and all that shit.
Right.
But these ones were in it for a good portion of the film. So Bill Moseley, who we've interviewed many times on this very network, I guess. I don't know.
Right. Now, did he somehow work in the Texas Chainsaw Manicure?
He did not.
Okay. I'm just checking because I've never seen him talk for more than 10 minutes without that coming in. So.
That's the thing. Yeah, so he was in it. If you're looking for your typical Bill Moseley performance, you're not going to find that here. He's pretty tame. He plays a stepdad. And we also have John Jarrett, who is an Australian actor who I guess is famous, question mark, somewhat famous for Wolf Creek and Wolf Creek 2.
Right.
If you've seen those films. And Nathan Jones is an Australian actor, and he's a little lesser known to some folks, but he's been in a bunch of stuff. Let me just see here real quick what he's been in. Mad Max, The Protector, Conan the Barbarian, The Scorpion King. Like, he's been in a bunch of stuff as, like, you know, the muscle guy. And he was also in an Australian horror film called Charlie's Farm. Now, Charlie's Farm was a sort of like an Australian The Hills Have Eyes story arc, sort of.
Right.
And Bill Moseley was actually in that film as well, so there was a little tie-in.
All right, but Mike, you're not talking about A-listers here. These are definitely they're name actors, but you have to be in horror to know who they were.
Right? Well, yeah, I think that when I say they're doing that, like if someone uses a Bill Moseley like that, their target audience is obviously horror fans. So.
Right.
So
we've seen plenty of those at the conventions. These guys are just trading on that name. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The world needs ditch diggers too, Tim. let me see.
What else? Adam, hold on. Adam, what movie did he just reference?
I don't even know.
Caddyshack, right? That's. Isn't it Ted Knight's line? Okay.
Which one was it?
I was also checking to make sure you were still on the line because I got a weird click and I was like, uh-oh.
So this is a creature feature, of course, a boar, and it's got a big boar on the front of it.
Yes.
So this is exactly what you think it is. It's about a small town in the Australian outback, which I guess the outback can be the desert and woods and a whole bunch of different shit. It's Australia. They could do what they want. Don't you like Australia, Adam?
I've never been to Australia, so...
It,
One of your favorite drive exports. To it. He can't drive.
One of your favorite exports comes from Australia, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a few of them do. I think you have a favorite export from there as well.
I do. They make some fine ladies over in Australia.
Are we talking Naomi Watts?
No, Peyton Royce, Billy Kay, Tennille Dashwood.
Not familiar.
They're wrestlers.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They are. And Russell Crowe. Wait, what?
He beats on things from time to time, too.
On the Foster's beer commercials?
Yeah, dude. Dude, I don't know if anybody's ever drank Foster's beer, but those things will fucking destroy you if you have enough of them. I will tell you that. But in any case.
And you're telling us because you heard about it from a friend.
I did.
Yeah, okay. Just making clear that because we try to keep things, as you know, totally PG-13 and kid friendly here.
Fuck yeah,
we do. That's our fucking goal. Yep.
So there's not really much to talk about of the story.
Let me guess, the boar starts killing people?
Yeah, they set up the whole thing of, you know, they show a bunch of, like, regular-sized boars running away. So everybody's like, what are these boars running from? I don't understand, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, this big honking fucking boar comes out of nowhere and just starts fucking shit up. And that's pretty much the start of the film, and they focus in on a couple characters. But yeah, there's a lot. There is some CGI, some faraway effects or faraway shots of like of the boar, and then the other boars like running away with CGI. But most of it is practical effects, and
that's
good. I don't know if some people thought the boar looked bad because it was practical, but I actually give a lot of respect to whomever made that and the filmmaker for going that route, because I thought it looked pretty fucking good. It was a little wonky at times, I won't lie.
Right.
But most of the time, it was effective. I mean, it never looked silly to me. I don't know. I thought they did a great job. The gore was all practical, and I think they knocked the gore out of the park on it.
Okay.
So I really give it a lot of credit for that. Like I said, they used Bill Moseley in the complete opposite of what we're normally used to him as I said before in the beginning.
Well, he's usually a maniac of some kind, so he's been playing a non-maniac.
Yeah, so he just plays a pretty normal stepdad that is just pretty normal. So, don't look for the normal Bill Moseley in this. The guy from Wolf Creek pretty much played the guy from Wolf Creek, but he wasn't a killer this time. So
I know you don't like the Wolf Creek movies. No, I've only seen the first one, but I did like the first one. I know you hate it. So I'll just keep bringing it up.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Adam, what do you think of the Wolf Creek films?
I could take or leave them. Don't love them, don't hate them.
Yeah.
I didn't say I love it. I thought I liked it, you know. That was about as far as I would go on this. Now, this sounds a little bit like a Sci-Fi Channel type scenario. Was it campy or was it gritty? Which direction did it go?
No, it went very much the gritty style. They did not go camp with it at all.
Okay.
So it was played straight. And it was done well, so it didn't... There was no camp at all. I didn't feel it at all, which I was glad about, because I think a lot of creature features do lend to campiness. Well, and I did not find that.
I always defend creature features that go that way. I'll be mentioning some of them in my review of a creature feature, because you know you never know how those effects are going to turn out, and when you're shooting these things, so sometimes you just don't know. I mean, you know, if you're making Sharknado, those effects are not going to be compelling, right? But sometimes it could go either way. I'll give you a great example. Have either of you seen the movie Beneath? I'm pretty sure that's the name of the movie. Let me just double check before I start talking it up or talking it down.
That What Lies Beneath movie with Harrison Ford?
No, this is a movie about an extinct fish. Let's see.
Yeah, I can't say I've seen that.
Well, where the hell is it? 16. Yeah, Beneath, and oh my god, there's like 8 movies named Beneath. This would be Beneath in 2013. And I can't find a picture real quick. I would have thrown one up. They have a practical effect. It's like this extinct giant fish monster. Okay? It looks like a dinosaur type thing. And the effect, depending on what type of mood you're in watching the movie, it's either going to look silly or kind of spooky and, you know, scary. And they do a good job of, you know, kind of hiding it for the most part. And just you get quick glimpses of it, that sort of thing. And I would have defended them if they didn't go serious with it, because it could have just as easily looked ridiculous, you know. But it did turn out. But it sounds like you think the creature actually turned out fairly decent in this.
Yeah, I think it did. Like I said, it was a little wonky in some parts.
Sure.
But for, you know, a feature film, I think it was well done. I have to give them credit. For the boar, I thought it was great, and like I said, the gore portions were pretty kick-ass too. They definitely brought in people that knew what they were doing, and it definitely showed in the final product.
This does sound like something that would interest me, so I think it's time for me to get your grade, and this time it can't be an incomplete because you watched it.
I did.
It sounds like you liked it, so I'm thinking it's going to be a good grade. Let's hear what you have.
I'm just going to give it a solid B, man, for the film, yeah. I'm not going to go plus or minus. It's just a solid B. The story wasn't very great, but in this type of story, does it really need to be great? I don't know. The action was good. It looked good. It was well acted. So, yeah, I give it a B.
Wow. That's pretty damn good from you.
That's like a normal person A-. I thought I was gonna fucking hate it. It's on Shudder right now if you have that. But yeah, you can probably check it out in other areas as well. But yeah.
Oh my god. You know, we need to get Shudder somehow involved with this show. It's pretty well do it all day. Adam, I put you in charge.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
Okay, great.
Shudder, sponsorus.org. That's what we got to write to.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, we're going to keep moving forward. It is time for me to go with my...
Hey, Tim.
Yeah.
I just got a message from Danielle on Facebook.
Yeah, I see
it. Yeah, wasn't sure if you caught that.
Yeah, I got it. We'll let her try to stabilize her signal, and hopefully she can join us. And if you guys want to try adding her while I do my review, I would greatly appreciate it. Okay, so I saw the movie Spiders 3D from 2013. I have no idea if this movie had a theatrical run. I have no idea. This is really a movie I've been thinking a lot about, which is weird because it's a creature feature. You usually watch this and about 10 seconds later, you're done watching the movie. But I was watching from a, well, that was an interesting approach side of things. This is a surprisingly earnest, large spider movie. Think about the large spider movies we've had out there. There's been Tarantula, which was made in the 50s. It had no choice. It was going to be campy. You have things like Big Ass Spider and Eight-Legged Freaks. They were definitely played up for joke level. And then you had... you had, I don't know how many giant spider movies there are on Sci-Fi, which always have a healthy level of camp. This movie is surprising to me because it kept it, I don't want to say it was exactly gritty, but it kept things, it tried to add what Richard Donner would call verisimilitude. It was trying to make this seem like this could happen. And their approach to that was to make these spiders from outer space, kind of. The movie definitely kept my interest, which I can't say for a lot of times when I'm watching, you know, Jurassicanda or something, I lose interest. This thing kept my interest. Not a lot of name stars. In fact, the main star of this movie was Patrick Muldoon. Anybody like to guess what he's best known for?
What?
You never heard of this guy, right? Patrick Muldoon? Oh. Yeah, he was the guy that most of us that watched the show said sunk Melrose Place. He came on the show, and the show kind of lost everything. It was a sad day for me. But most people pointed to him as the point of jumping the shark. And he isn't a bad actor. He just wasn't good on that show. And he kind of plays the same thing on this show. Just kind of earnest, take things at face value type of guy. Okay, so how did the giant spiders occur? Is this a spoiler? Do you think this is a spoiler? I'm not sure. We're going to declare this a non-spoiler. But these spiders were on a space station that crashed to the Earth, kind of like Skylab, okay? These spiders were somehow on the space station. It crashed to the Earth into the subway system in New York.
Makes sense.
Well, that's where it would land, right? Now, yeah. We find out through the movies that these were no ordinary spiders to begin with, and, you know, mad scientists, etc. Okay? But the spiders begin growing almost immediately, and they start taking out some subway workers. They are, you know, going doop, 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 down the subway tunnels, and they're going chunk, you know, and ka-chunk, and they're done, right? So that's going on, right? And here's what's kind of weird. The passengers of the subway, you know, there's thousands and thousands of people on the subway. They didn't seem to get affected. Some of them might have had a longer commute time than usual, but none of them got killed. Nothing happened to the commuters. It's like, oh, don't. I feel like the New York subway system said, okay, you can shoot in the subway, but you can't show any commuters getting hurt because it'll hurt our reputation. It seemed really odd. And it takes everything so seriously in this movie. You're kind of sitting there going, this is stupid. It's a spider, you know, programmer type of movie. But it actually had some, it had some gritty scenes. Not quite gritty, but like you actually felt concerned for the characters. Now, apparently the movie was originally in 3D. I did not see it in 3D, but you can tell that it was shot in 3D. And yes, Danielle, we can see you.
I saw.
All right. However, I did see this movie with 5.1 surround sound, and that was awesome. They did more surround effects than I have heard in half a dozen other movies. It was really creepy. The people that did the sound for this deserve really big kudos. And I think 5.1 surround sound is not used enough in horror movies. It just drives me nuts because it can be so creepy because it's a sound behind you. You're constantly like, hey, what's that? What's going on behind me? It's really effective. And this movie knew that. And it made a lot of, you know, little scampering sounds going on in the background. It was good that way. Now, by the time the spiders grow to the size of large dogs, which is about 30 minutes in. So, you know, okay, this is a good movie. They're moving things along fairly quick. Once they hit the size of large dogs, these spiders really start taking people on. Yes, it was CGI. I don't think any of it was practical. The CGI was obvious. And they do come up with a spider that I call Spiderzilla that was the size of, well, of the big ass spider, if you remember that movie. It's, you know, big enough that the spider, when it's going down the street, it has legs on one sidewalk and legs on the other sidewalk. Gives you a feel of how big this thing is. That was done pretty well. For being CGI, it worked okay. The spider sound I was describing that was real super creepy, my best description of it is it sounded like slea stacks. Do any of you remember what a slea stack is or know that term?
No.
Okay.
Land of the Lost.
Yes, Land of the Lost. It was this creepy creature that would just go, you know, that sort of thing going all the time. It was really super creepy and was the star of many of my nightmares growing up.
Why would it make noise?
What?
Why did it make that noise?
Apparently, they all had emphysema. I think slea stacks were chain smokers. That's pretty well, I'm sure that's what happened. The other thing these spiders did, this was not as spooky or scary, but it was kind of humorous to me. They would trumpet a little, like elephants. Come after you. So that was weird. But I guess it fit for space spiders that had like rows of teeth. You know, they were a little weird. They were from outer space, right? So this movie surprised me. I expected a cheese camp fest. I mean, it's called Spiders. There's a scene of a guy on the poster of him just facing down this gigantic spider. You're like, okay, this is just going to be ridiculous. Oh, the tagline, by the way, for this movie, this is just precious. The city is crawling, right? I mean, that's just, oh my God. So I was expecting, okay, this is going to be goofy and all that stuff. And no, it was really, really, took itself seriously and actually a lot more fun than I expected. I will give it a grade here. And I have to say, unlike Mike, who had to go with just a flat B, I'm going to go one step up and go B plus on this bad boy. It tried. It tried really hard, and it did a good job at what it was doing. So I would actually... If you like creature features, I can't believe I'm saying this because when I put this thing in, I'm like, okay, here's a movie I'm going to get to trash. I have to say, see this movie. It isn't the scariest movie, okay? But I would say this movie, actually, what I think it would be good at is to get people, you know, like kids, interested in horror movies. I think it would be good at that. So it would have a value that way if you're trying to get somebody involved in horror movies. It isn't too intense, but it's got good characters, it's well done, and it's got things that are a little bit scary, which would be perfect for kids.
That reminds me of a movie, if anybody has kids that are looking to get into horror movies, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely check this one out. It's called Salo. Peace.
Yeah, right. Okay. You know, I hear that's a good double feature with Serbian film. Right?
They go hand in hand.
They do.
This is okay, Danielle, this is how these assholes got me to watch August Underground, by the way. These guys. They're such jerks.
Oh yeah? Saying that it's a good intro film?
Yeah. Yeah. Here, watch this. This is a good little starter package, Tim.
Did you make it through?
I mean, you can...
Which one did I see?
Mortem. Mike,
it was the second one, right?
Yeah, Mortem.
Yeah,
Mortem.
Yeah, I made it through. I could take it or leave it.
If you can find the director's cut of Murder Set Pieces, it's a great intro film.
I did not like Murder Set Pieces at all. I don't know which version I saw, though.
I remember you reviewed that, and you were not kind to it.
No, I was shitting all over that thing. Yep. Me not being kind is kind of a headline, because I'm usually such a sweet fella. All right, let's go to Danielle now. Danielle, what have you been watching? I heard Danielle like a second ago. There she is. Okay.
No.
Oh, no.
You guys are all static.
Yeah, Danielle, you're coming in like every third word, I think, right now. Hey, here's what you do. Shake the phone vigorously. That will send the electrons to the outside edges, and it'll broadcast better.
I heard that. Can you hear me? Well, this way. I heard what?
You're coming in better now.
How's it going?
It's a little less. It was better a second ago.
Better a second ago. All right.
Okay, right there. Stay where you are. Okay, all right. Shoot.
I'm not moving or breathing.
Okay, go ahead.
I have been watching Johnny Frank Garrett's Last Word. It is available on Amazon Prime. It has fairly decent reviews. It is actually about a true murder, I found out after watching it. About a guy that was sentenced to death for a murder of a nun. That he, till his death, pleaded that he did not do. In the movie, they kill him, and then weird stuff ensues. He writes a novel, pretty much, several page letter, saying that he is cursing all of the people involved with his trial. The director had vision, some. The cinematography was great. And that's about all I can say for this film.
Uh-oh. Was it
interesting,
boring?
I really wanted it. So it's really good at getting you on edge. But then it falls flat. It's an edger.
Okay.
An
edger. Is this a new term? Mike, have we used edger before?
I'm going to let Danielle describe to you what that is. Too.
Okay, is that like a terror film? what is an edger? This should be good.
It gets
good.
You real close, but it doesn't get you there.
Oh, we have another term for that, JC. Okay. An edger. So, like blue balls is what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a blue ball movie. It's beautiful. it's very well shot. But it just, it falls flat. It has a lot of potential. I think it is around a story that wasn't written well, a script that wasn't written well, and then handed to a director that had vision for it, but wasn't sure what to do with it because he was handed a piece of shit.
Okay. Was this a direct to Amazon? Do you know? Did it have that Amazon logo thing at the beginning? Like it was made by Amazon Studios or something? Or
I do not think it was made by Amazon. I think, but Amazon has been picking up on a lot of independent distribution.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's what happened with it. Going in, the description says it was a curse type movie. So I go in thinking, oh, maybe it's, you know, Titanic or witchy feeling. Like, yeah. I was hoping for something along the lines of Last Shift, if you guys have seen that.
No, I'm thinking that autopsy movie we saw lately. That's the
best. Yeah. Autopsy of Jane Doe?
Yeah, that one. Yep.
I was wanting something like that, and I did not deliver.
Okay. By the way, does anybody know, are Amazon and Shudder one and the same, and one's just like a branding of the other or something? Because you can buy Shudder somehow through Amazon, right?
Shudder is AMC owned.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's actually good for all of us because Amazon and Shudder can fight to get these movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so I get the impression. Are you ready to grade?
Yeah.
Okay. That's always the hardest part with the show is trying to figure out if I'm cutting you guys off early. Okay. So,
well, I mean, any questions or anything? I feel like I've summed up enough of it.
Yeah, I think we got the vibe. You guys have any questions?
Nope.
Okay.
Cool.
I sometimes feel like I'm at a teleconference at work where people are like, sorry, I joined late. What did I miss? You know, all that stuff. Okay, yeah. So.
Sorry, I know it was a short one. It's just, I didn't really have much to say about it. You don't know what's really the premise of it for 90% of the movie.
Okay.
You're an hour in and there are 30 minutes left and you're like, okay, got it.
Well, Danielle, you're on a show that, I think we had one other really short review today. That's because he couldn't stay conscious during his film. So
I had much the same thing. I started watching it last night. I went to sleep, finished it today.
If that's always a good sign. If you can walk away from it that easily, that means it's not going to get a very good grade. So, all right, let's hear it. What are you giving it?
I would give it a D.
Ooh, ouch.
It doesn't quite fail, but it doesn't have anything going for it either.
Here's the other thing. Danielle's one of our nicer panelists. She doesn't like crapping on these things, so this has really got to be a garbage festival. Whew.
I can respect Vision. Like I said, it's just there was no story or anything else going around it, so.
Okay. Wow. All right. Well, thank you very much for that. And I'm sure the filmmakers are just pleased as hell that we're ripping into their flick. Let's see. Oh, by the way, otherworldly culture, everybody. It's time for you to put your browser to otherworldlyculture.com. And I'm going to have Adam tell us about some of the articles he's been putting out lately.
haven't really had many articles, just a few audio interviews go up recently.
Yeah, you got a bunch of those. You had some news on AEW. A lot of wrestling going up lately. I have one lone article. Look at this. I'm showing the site right now. I think, okay, those two are mine. Then the rest of these are all Adam, and I have this one on Amazon Prime, which, by the way, the last word was not in my list of Prime picks, but I do have to apologize to everybody. I did have as a Prime pick the TV series Good Omens. I'm going to just kind of wave people off that play. That was not very good. And I'm kind of a Neil Gaiman fan. I'm kind of a, what's the other guy's name? Damn it. I always forget. I'm not that big of a fan, obviously. but I thought that movie was going to, that series was going to be good. It was okay-ish. Is what it was. Right now, all the Rocky films just hit Prime, but I know you guys will love this. The movie The Wraith is now available on Prime, so you're going to have to get into that like immediately. Okay, and Tim, our yes?
I would murder you for that car in that movie. I'm just saying.
Oh, well, yeah. You are just saying. Okay, and Danielle, I still have the Buck Short Productions. Is that still accurate? I know you're working on a new website, right?
I am working on a new website. I am actually right now, if there are any film writers that are interested in sharing their stuff, seeing where they're at, if they want to shoot me an email, that would be great.
Okay, and we'll get your email linked on our website so people can click on that. Okay.
Sounds great.
Fantastic. Mike, you want to tell us about some incredible swag people can buy?
I didn't hear anything you said because of the music.
Oh, do you want to tell everybody about the incredible swag people can buy?
Yeah, definitely. Go get a relic of a bygone era at fastcustomshirts.com. Type in East Coast Horror Group. We've slashed prices to $14.99.
Wait a minute. That's what I bought mine for. Are you sure?
Positive. This is a special pricing for people.
As sales go, that sounds a little bit like an edger. It sounds a little bit like an edger. All right. Fantastic. Danielle, anything else to promote? Adam, Mike, am I missing anything?
Nope.
I guess one thing we should mention is Squared Circle Expo. The rooms are now available. If you'd like to get in on that in Indianapolis in late May, I believe the show is, you can start getting your tickets. And I don't know if the tickets are out yet, but I do know that the room blocks are now available for you to pick up and book for the Squared Circle Expo. And we're sure to tell folks more about that as it comes closer. Okay, well, we'd like to thank everybody. Hope you all have a wonderful Father's Day and say thanks to your fathers, those of you that haven't been abused by them. And we'll move on. Hang in there, pumpkin, until our next show. And remember, as John Carpenter once said, horror is a reaction. It's not a genre. Hey, that worked. Fantastic.
What the fuck did you mean by that? People that weren't abused? It clearly shocked me. I didn't think it could happen. I was like, what? What do you mean?
I never mean. Never. Never.
Just such an odd thing to say.
Yeah, on this show, we never do shock value. You're right, no. Mike. We are always squeaky clean this show. It's actually shocking how wonderful we are. All right. Good night, everybody.
That's what I pride myself
on. Good night.